Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Right. I would say this, that, you know, our philosophy is you can never have enough rushers. I think that's been going back. I mean, probably a lot of teams believe that. But I think we want to make sure we keep guys fresh. And Mac's a very good player, and he's come in great shape now. I like the way he looks, the way he's practicing. He's leaned up. He's fast. And been very impressed with him. So we've got a number of guys like that. And we're hoping that, I mean, we can send two lines at people, not just one group, that we can stay fresh with the players. So, those edge guys are very important to us. And, you know, and the inside guys creating that push.
That was Raiders defensive coordinator Gus Bradley talking about not one defensive line, but two defensive line. When was the last time the Raiders could talk about putting together a literal rotation of two defensive lines that they can throw at opposing offensive lines and opposing quarterbacks, keeping guys fresh, keeping guys healthy? It sure looks like they're in position to at least try to do that with the depth that they've added in Yanni Kangakwe, Malcolm Kuntz, Quinton Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, Darius Filon, to go along with the players that they have coming back. It's in a much better position this year than it was last year.
Well, I'm going to have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
That is right, and that signals the time of week that we go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in our good friend, Dr. Robert Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. We talk about this all the time. Before I get to Dr. Odell, I don't care how old you are, and especially for our older listeners or for listeners who have older people in their lives, whether it's a mom and dad, uncle, older brother, whatever the case might be, we get into this mindset that getting older means dealing with pain. It's just an inevitability of life, but that's not the case. And Dr. Odell and his staff are here to help. So please give them a call, 702-257-7246. They're going to turn around that narrative and that mindset, and they're going to get you relief, and they're going to get you back on your feet in order to live the type of life that you're deserving of, even at the later stages of your life. Dr. Robert Odell, how you doing, my man?
Couldn't be better. Thank you very much, Vinny.
Well, I don't know if we can necessarily say that, Dr. Odell, because last I looked, it was 115 degrees. And you've been here forever, not ever, but a long enough time. Like myself, you're a somewhat product of the sandy, beautiful beaches of California and the coolness of California, even though they're boiling as well, from what I understand, back home in Cali. Do you ever get to a point where you do get used to this kind of heat?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I used to, when I worked at UMC, I came out of the cold operating room, and I said, yes. Now I went into an air-conditioned car, and my home's at, I don't know, right now, 80 or 78, but it's fine. But when I go outside after work, I love it. I love the heat, the dry heat. I mean, that's the only negative of this whole town. We've talked about that before. Nothing else ever goes wrong. And I'm telling you, I believe in the future that we're going to get a lot more water because just like the Arab nations, I think L.A. and all along the California coast, desalination will be very cost-effective. And we'll get a lot more of the water from Lake Mead, and I think, which Phoenix and Vegas need, because we're not on the water, but on the salt water. But I think it's going to be a problem that's going to be easily solvable. I met a water engineer once on a flight to L.A., and we were talking about that. It was very, a long time ago, and of course, it's not my area of expertise, but it's very interesting. It's a drought, but it's manageable, very manageable.
When we're talking about pain and ailments and things like that, how does heat and how does this time of year play into that? Does it go up with the pain? Yeah. Does it go down with the pain? Is there any rule of thumb?
Yeah, what happens is as the barometric pressure changes and the heat, the small nerve fibers in your body called the C fibers carry the sympathetic and the parasympathetic signals. Those are the automatic signals that raise your heart rate, lower your heart rate, do that sort of thing without you thinking about it. The sympathetic fibers, for example, when you stand up, will squeeze down in your foot and legs so you don't faint. So they're very, very important. What happens is these are the smallest nerves in the body, and they're very, very susceptible to barometric pressure changes. Pardon me, my 8-month-old is barking.
That's okay. We love it.
Anyway, so what happens is when people say this has changed, I say, this is why. And what it indicates to me is that part of their pain is sympathetically mediated, and that can actually help me in my care plan with them. So I listen to the patients, what they have to say, because most doctors just blow it off, and there's actually a physiological answer. And I don't mean to be, you know, too complicated, but the little nerves, the tiniest nerves in the body, react to this barometric pressure changes.
All right, Dr. Odell, we're going to get into a little bit of a controversial lane here. And I know you and I have had some discussions about this, you know, with COVID-19, the kind of protocols that are in place and all that type of thing. And the NFL recently put out their new guidelines for this upcoming season. And there's two different worlds. There's a world of the vaccinated players, and there's a world of the unvaccinated players. No one's telling anybody they have to do anything or mandating that whatsoever. But the restrictions for the vaccinated players are much less strict and prohibitive than the ones for the unvaccinated, non-vaccinated players. And, you know, they're not going to be able to have the freedoms, essentially, in and around the building, when the teams go out on the road, all of that, that their vaccinated teammates will have. There's been some players that have come out and not too happy about all that. And I can understand their frustrations, no question about it. Where do you fall on the NFL kind of not mandating it, but basically setting aside two sets of rules for the players that are vaccinated and the players that aren't vaccinated?
They're doing exactly the right thing. I'm on Wayne Allen Root's show once a month, and I love Wayne, but he does not get vaccinated. But he's ranting and raving about vaccinations as if it's another thing the government's forcing us to do. He's wrong, because these vaccinations work, and the risk of the vaccination is far less than the benefits. We need herd immunity. So those people, patients, players that choose not to get vaccinated will have to live with the draconian requirements, and I fully support the NFL in that. I got vaccinated, had no problems. There have been 24 people, young people, had very serious heart problems, but that's 100 million vaccinations. I mean, think about it. How many car accidents are taking place right now where people are getting killed in this country or around the world? I mean, we don't have most people don't have a concept of how many people there are in this state, in this country, in the world, and that stuff happens because the humans are complicated. And I don't support Fauci when he said not to use hydroxychloroquine. That was wrong. Hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and a Z-Pak will cure, you know, COVID in most people. And this governor needs to be recalled for what he said, for not allowing us to prescribe that. Having said that, it is the right of every individual to be vaccinated or not. Mr. Root, for example, has lots of allergies, and I appreciate his right not to have it. But I do believe, and a lot of the major medical groups, who are a lot of very smart people who look at the data, have said that you should get vaccinated.
And, you know, I obviously there's different dynamics involved here, but, you know, the same players that are, you know, complaining about that, and I get some of their fears or whatever, but I don't think they quite understand sometimes, like, you've been vaccinated for polio, you've been vaccinated for chickenpox, you've been vaccinated for all these things, probably unbeknownst to you because they happened when you were a tiny, tiny little kid, maybe a little bit older. But all of those are requirements to do a lot of different things in life. Going to a public school, playing football on your high school football team. I know my son plays high school football. Everything has to be updated. All the immunization shots have to be updated just for him to be stepping on the field. I sometimes wonder if they're not making that connection that this is not all that unusual. It just so happens to be for COVID-19 where you've been vaccinated for many, many, many things over the course of your life for this reason.
You hit the nail on the head. This has become too politicized. They should leave it in the hands of the medical personnel, not Fauci, but the medical personnel who don't have a stake in vaccinations. And they should leave it in the hands of people who are not stakeholders, scientists who are reporting honestly. And if that had happened from the beginning, the government and their fear-mongering hadn't taken over, this wouldn't be a problem. You couldn't have said it any better than I did.
Well, and it's going to be, you know, it's kind of ongoing. I cover professional football, so this is going to be sort of an ongoing type of an issue. But, you know, and it does also go back, like you said, to some of the fear mongering, the political nature of this, who you want to believe, what you want to believe. I'm not sure you're on Facebook or social media, but every day it's a bombardment of information, and it's tough sometimes for just the everyday folk, myself included, to distinguish between what's real and what's not real. It's just hard. We're in difficult times, but I appreciate your frankness on that issue. And, you know, maybe just urging people, just listen to the experts, the doctors. Is there a go-to that you would recommend? A go-to expert, you know, doctor, medical advice that you would recommend outside of Dr. Fauci and those type of people?
I have a cardiac problem with my atrium, and I see the people in Nevada, Heart and Vascular. These are some of the smartest, best cardiologists I've ever met. My cardiologist, Arjun Guraj, who took care of Bernie Sanders when he had his heart attack. And these people are the best. And Nevada Heart and Vascular says, get vaccinated. I mean, I'm not an infectious disease doctor, nor do I play one on TV or radio. In fact, all the COVID-19 stuff, I just leave, you know, the bulletins and the stuff I send to my office manager, so we followed the directions when we had to. It's not my area of expertise. But as a physician, number one, each person has a right to do what they want to with their body. Number two, the people who have done the studies, assuming they were done in good faith and done properly, have determined the vaccinations are safe. That doesn't mean 100 million people are going to be safe. I get that. The machine that I use is pretty much risk-free, but we have an occasional burn. I mean, it happens. A human body is complex. You'll have some young people who've gotten this inflammation of the heart. I think 24 cases. It does happen. But all in all, it's the right thing to do, in my opinion, but those who don't want to do it have the absolute right not to do it.
I agree. 100%. Go ahead.
I hope that continues. The way things are going now, I'm not sure, but I know this is a sports show, not a political show.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what, Dr. Odell, it's the two, it intercedes all a lot, quite a bit. And for whatever reason, the NFL especially is kind of a lightning rod a little bit. So more so than baseball, more so than the NBA. It's just kind of the world that they operate in. So.
You're right on there. You're right on.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, to everyone that's listening,
really, that's one thing that upsets me, but I still watch it. Football's been imbued my whole life, with my father being a coach and America's Outstanding, you know, all that stuff. And it breaks my heart to see that stuff. And I love it at the hockey games when they play the national anthem and the Canadian national anthem. Everybody's standing. It's terrific.
Yep, absolutely. And again, just so that you know, everybody, please heed my words and Dr. Odell's words when we say that. You know, pain is it's a reality in life. You know, whether it's injuring yourself out on the football field or playing tennis or you know, typing every day on your computer. There's something that we all deal with or that we all deal that or do that is going to lead to some sort of a pain. But it doesn't mean we have to just grin and bear it at all, whether we're young or old or whatever the case might be, whether it seems like just the natural evolution of things or something that was caused by something. We don't have to deal with it. And Dr. Odell and his staff over at the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
I do want to do a shout out for something that I tell patients about. I take something called UltraCure. It's a curcumin substance, and I have very few aches and pains. It's about $50 a month, and there's natural receptors in the body. It's like taking naproxen, but there's no side effects. And I'm telling you, I have very few aches and pains. If something happens, flares up here or there, I take an extra one. It goes away. It's a natural product, and I tell all my patients about it. Now, a lot of people want the injection, the quick fix. I get that. That's great. It's good for business, but I feel obligated to tell everybody at least something that's personally helped me. I'm 74. I've been reasonably active. I've worked out my whole life, played high school sports and college football for a couple years, and, you know, we have a history in our family of arthritis, and my gosh, this stuff works great. I'm not necessarily suggesting you buy the product that we have at our clinic, but it's called curcumin. It's a natural anti-inflammatory, and just like with the receptors in the body for narcotics and the receptors in the body for THC, there are natural curcuminoid receptors, and I recommend anybody. Who, especially those of you in your 30s, 40s, 50s that want to lay down an anti-inflammatory barrier against all that which would give you aches and pains. And I can't say enough about this stuff. It's great.
And the name of it again?
It's made by Ultra Botanical, and it's called UltraCure. We can get it on my clinic, or you can call me, email me, and I can put you in touch with them. I tell people about it not for any profit at all, just because it's worked so well for me. I mean, hell, I'm 74, you know, 1946. Do you remember that year? I bet you
I do. I absolutely do. I think the Yankees might have won the World Series right after the war, probably, or somebody. I'm taking a wild guess, but I might as well say the Yankees because they won every other
Brooklyn,
one of them.
When Brooklyn moved, I remember Brooklyn moved to California.
Wow. My mother as well, and she grew up in
Thanks.
Brooklyn. But Dr. Odell, if you want information on the product that he just talked about, or if you have some issues or know somebody that has some issues, please give them a call, 702-257-7246. That's Dr. Robert Odell and his staff at the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. Dr. Odell, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Stay cool, although it sounds like you love the heat. So enjoy it a little bit more. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. That's Dr. Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. Give them a call, 702-257-7246. Pain doesn't have to be a constant reality. It is a reality, but it doesn't have to be inflicting you day after day after day. There's help out there, and Dr. Odell and his staff are there to provide it. 702-257-7246. Please, if you know anybody, including yourself, take advantage. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Right back to the Raider Nation listener line. Joe is in Los Angeles. How hot is it in LA, Joe?
It's been really hot. It's in, you know, I live in the, I grew up in L.A., but I live in San Gabriel Valley now, so it's reaching close to 100. But you got to remember, the difference between this heat and Las Vegas heat is that it's really humid. So you tend to sweat a lot just going outside.
Yeah, the humidity is what will get you. And every once in a while, for whatever reason, it'll get humid, even in California. I just hope that because that's usually when the fires start too. So I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that nothing like that goes on anytime soon, man.
Yeah, there was a fire recently in the Santa Fe Dam area, and it might have been a homeless encampment, but because of the heat, it sparked a huge fire there just the other day. But having said that, I did want to talk about, you know, I tuned in a little bit late, so you might have talked about this particular subject, but when Twitter has been going off on Cole Beasley, who made the statements about that he'd rather die than get vaccinated, and I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit. You know, I already spoke, and I was very emphatic about having had COVID and struggles that I went through. I am fully vaccinated, as you are, and I think one of the things that you brought up, which even listened to the other doctors, that I think it's mandatory that the NFL bring up this policy that if you're not vaccinated, you can't play football. Because as kids, we all have to get vaccinated or else we can't even go to school. Nobody ever questions that. They get their kids vaccinated or they don't. They put them in homeschooling. So I think this should be the case for the NFL. Because one of the disturbing things for me in hearing the Cole Beasley quotes or reading the Cole Beasley quotes is the fact that he said not only that he'd rather die and live his life, but he talked about his values and kind of the morality of that. And I'm thinking, well, what's the morality or the values in possibly infecting other people that may not be as healthy as you are and giving them something that they would die from? You know, I think it's highly irresponsible because I don't know what values would indicate to you, well, I don't want to be around here for my family. I don't want to take this vaccine. Because as you mentioned, it's become highly politicized, whether or not that's his reason. I don't see that as a value point not to get the vaccine. And so, I don't know what your thoughts were on that, but my main thing was, if you don't want to get vaccinated, then don't play football because you possibly will be infecting not only your teammates, but your fellow human beings. I mean, we know that at excellent and as healthy as some of these athletes are, look at how many people got COVID on the Raiders team last year, and that severely affected the team.
There's no question about it. And talk to Clee Farrell. It took a big bite out of him last year. And just because, and there's I get really frustrated because I just, like, for the life of me, I can't understand how Cole Beasley has gotten through this stage of his life without putting two and two together on all the vaccines that were needed for him, like you just said, to be able to go to school, to be able to play high school football, polio, chicken pox. I've lost track on all of them. There's a bunch of them. And I know that because even for my son, everything I was, you know, when we moved from California to Las Vegas to go to his new school, everything had to be updated. All the shots had to be updated. To play football, he needed the documentation that he was up to date on all his immunization shots. It's just a natural part of life. It just so happens that now it's for COVID-19. And for the life of me, again, I don't see how people could get to a certain stage of their life not being able to put that two and two together, a very simple two and two together. This isn't about politics. This isn't an invasion or a dictatorship. This has been going on for a long time. And to hear Montez Sweat talk the other day about he's mad at his parents now for giving him the polio shot, and then to have the the ignorance, let's put it that way, to say, you know, I'd rather just deal with something along the lines of, I'd rather just deal with polio first. Let me get polio first. You know, it's like, do you not understand what the vaccine is? It helps prevent that from happening.
You know what it is? Many people ain't scared of polio no more.
Well, I mean,
people don't know how bad it was when polio was out here wrecking people.
I know you're shedding light on it, and that's fine, but it's so absurd. Like, they don't realize the level of ignorance that they're displaying, and sometimes it seems like they're trying to come off as being smart about something. It's like you're doing the opposite. You're doing the complete opposite. Like Montez Sweat, if you don't know, go look what polio is all about. You don't want to get it, then deal with it. You want to not get it so that you don't have to deal with it. How, you know, it's common sense. It's just common sense. And, you know, I tweeted back at Cole Beasley when he went on his little, Twitter sequence where, when he was talking about it. And my thing is, nobody's telling you, you have to do it. Even the NFL is not saying it. And as of right now, you're still going to be allowed to play, but it comes, every decision comes with some sort of stipulations. If you get it, this is the way things are going to be able to be for you. If you don't get it, this is what's, this is how it's going to have to be for you. And it's obviously wearing a helmet and a virus are two different things. Getting a vaccine for a virus are two different things, but there's policies in place where that mandate that players have to wear helmets. If Cole Beasley went on the field without wearing his helmet, he gets sent right back. You can't play without wearing a helmet. Cole Beasley or anybody else can make the argument, well, I'm so fast and so athletic and so crafty and so good at what I do, I don't need a helmet. I'm not going to get hurt because I'm not going to get hit in the head. So why do I need to wear a helmet? Well, try using that argument, with the, you're still okay, great, but you're not going to be able to play. And that's all the NFL is saying right now is if you don't get the vaccine, you can still play, but you're not going to be able to go leave town during the bye week. You're not going to be able to go out to eat when you're on the road, leave the hotel. You have to stay at the hotel. You're not going to be able to be in meetings with your vaccinated teammates. There's a bunch of different things that you're going to have to deal with as a result of being a non-vaccinated player. And for him to say, oh, the players union isn't looking out for the players. What do you mean they're not looking out for the players? They're doing exactly that in this case. They're telling the vaccinated players that there's going to be, or the non-vaccinated, they're protecting the vaccinated players as much as they can from the non-vaccinated players. That's literally the definition of protecting the players. No, Cole Beasley, they're just not looking out entirely for you and just letting you make whatever decision that you want to make and not have that decision have an effect on other people. That's what that is. And, you know, Cole Beasley talking about virtues and values, and as our caller Joe just mentioned, what's the value in potentially exposing somebody else to your decision? That's not a value. That's like selfishness, to be honest with you. It's truly selfishness. Why is it that kids can't go to school when they're not vaccinated for chickenpox and smallpox and all those other things? Because they're a danger to other kids. That's why they do that. It's
all right,
nothing.
Vinny, it's a hot button issue. We got more callers coming in. We got Joey in Fresno up too.
Oh, okay. Joe in Fresno is on the line. What's going on, Joe? How you doing, brother? Joe, how you doing, man?
These guys, I tell you.
Yeah.
Joey in Fresno, man. He was so fired up about Beasley, and I was like, all right, we're going to get you on. Look at that. Nothing.
Well, Joe in Fresno, if you're listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that subject. I know it's a touchy subject, but at some point, it just literally comes down to common sense. Like, you not getting vaccinated leaves other people vulnerable. You know, it leaves you vulnerable too, let's be honest about it. But if you're not thinking along those terms, or you don't care and you say that you'd rather die of COVID, okay, that's your personal decision. But other people have made other decisions to protect themselves, and you being unprotected puts them in a vulnerable position. That's what this is all about. And that's the disconnect, I think. Everyone is just selfishly thinking, you can't tell me to put that in my body. No, we're not telling you to put that in your body. But we're telling you that if you don't get vaccinated, that leaves other people vulnerable and it puts them in a dangerous position. And as a result, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen to the extent that we can.
Yeah, Vinny, I think it's a good point. Like in the NBA with Chris Paul, we don't know his vaccination status, but it's seeming like he is not vaccinated. And it's one of those, hey, if you're vaccinated, only stay around 7 days. You only have to be like out for 7 days if you've been around someone who has been like contact tracing. But if you're not vaccinated, I think it's 2 weeks. And that's just one of those things. Well, you have the choice. So you're choosing to, if this comes up, you're choosing to spend that 14 days isolated instead of the 7.
And do we know that for sure now? Has that come out?
It hasn't come out for sure yet, but if that is the case.
Yeah, because I'm hoping that, and kind of what I've heard was that, and I don't know this to be true, but this is kind of what the streets have been saying, DeMond, was that he was vaccinated and that it's going to be the shorter term. And that's another distinction to make. I don't think it doesn't sound like he tested positive for COVID. He was just around somebody, right? Is that kind of
it's the contact tracing, but I'm just like to the Cole Beasley effect where it's like,
yes,
if it was like, oh man, I don't even have it. I was just around somebody. Well, that's your fault for not getting the vaccine. You could be back for this Sunday, but instead you got to miss this game. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. And you're going to start seeing that, and it's going to happen. There's going to be times where players are, at risking not being out there. And again, we have to make the distinction. And this is where I think players, or not just people in general, they're looking at it from just their own individual standpoint. And they're saying, you can't, this is my decision and I'm choosing not to do this for my own reasons. And of course, nobody is going to get forced into doing it. You can't force somebody to take the vaccination, but they can't on one hand say, you can't force me to do this. And out of another side of their mouth said, but I can force myself into any situation that I want along with, with vaccinated people. Like, I'm sorry, but there's this is the deal. These are the rules. If you aren't vaccinated, maybe your traveling is going to be curtailed or restricted. When you get to another city or another country, you might have to go into isolation for X amount of time. Like there's stipulations that are attached to whatever the decision that you make, and that's not forcing you to take the vaccination. It's just saying that we're protecting ourselves from you because you've decided not to take the vaccination. I know it's tough. I know it sucks. I know we'd rather not be in this position, but we would also rather be in a position where there wasn't polio, where there wasn't smallpox, where there wasn't chickenpox, where there wasn't this, that, and the other thing. But that's the world that we live in. And it's something that ever changes, and new viruses come about all the time. And this one happened to be a humdinger that we needed to take drastic steps to fight and to deal with. And it, just like many others that have come across through the history of time, it's just so funny that Cole Beasley, in his 25, 26 years on Earth, can't look behind him to the 100 or so years that preceded him and the million and the thousands of other years that preceded him to really realize how bad things got without vaccinations, without cures, without, people would die by unbelievable numbers when virus swept certain nations or countries or cities or whatever the case might be, just as it was with COVID-19. We had to hurry up and fix that and get a vaccination for it. And I don't understand the lack of common sense from people who just aren't looking at things logically. And if you don't want to get the vaccination as a professional football player, okay, but the NFL teams are saying, but here's what you're going to have to deal with, and we're protecting everybody else because that's the why we're doing it. We're not forcing you to do it, but we're protecting everybody else from your decision. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Well, I think Corey, you know, it's I've been impressed with him, his speed. He's a very skilled linebacker. You know, one of the things he's, you know, his physical nature, that's the things we're looking at right now and challenging him on. But he has it in him. But matchups, I think what's great about Corey is the matchups he allows us to have. He's really a skilled cover guy, what I've seen so far. Now, this has been a lot of walkthrough. When the bullets fly and we go full speed, I think we'll have a better sense of where everybody's at. But thus far, and I think, Vic, the other thing that we've seen on him is he's really a good edge setter. You know, so, you know, I think he has that ability maybe in base to be more of an outside linebacker for us too. So until we get the pads on and see what he can do, we're trying to still, you know, learn some of these guys and their skill set. But I'll be able to tell you more once we get in the training camp.
That's Gus Bradley talking about Corey Littleton. I've said this a million times. There's no way Corey Littleton just up and forgot how to play football. The dude that I saw in Los Angeles, I'm not saying he was, you know, Lawrence Taylor or anything like that, but he was a highly, highly skilled, productive player who made some game-changing plays. He just had a knack for doing it, getting hands on his ball, interceptions, a couple sacks here and there, 90-plus tackles, sideline to sideline, being one of the best cover linebackers in the NFL. He didn't forget how to do all of that. I just remember looking at him last year, and there were sequences where I would just watch 42. I would watch Corey Littleton, and it just looked like he was playing so tentative, so uncertain, so unsure. You know, and knowing Corey, got a chance to cover him in Los Angeles. He's a proud dude and a really smart guy, very humble player. Last year didn't sit well with him, and he talked about it when we talked to him at the end of last year. And, you know, he kind of came clean, like, you know, felt like he was playing like a chicken without his head out there for the early part of the season. And, you know, is it anybody's fault? I don't know. You know, was it the system under Paul Gunther? Was he asking him to do too much? I felt like maybe there was a little bit too much on Corey's plate last year. But, you know, at the same time, he's coming to a new city. He's coming to a new team. Everybody just got thrown together, and there were a lot of new players last year, especially defensively. Everyone just got thrown together that first day of training camp, and it was just you know, I told somebody this the other day, felt like the Raiders last year were just playing catch up the whole time and trying to make the best in a hurry up kind of a fashion of a very odd situation. And, you know, some teams were able to handle it a little bit better. Teams that had been together for quite some time, veteran teams, you know, look at Tampa Bay. Yeah. They're young in some regards, but they also have a lot of experience at a lot of key places. Tom Brady, you know, among them, that defensive line is a veteran defensive line. There was enough there, enough leadership across the board to kind of carry it through. And even they had a couple of spells where, you know, it wasn't looking quite right. But they were able to find their way and find their footing and were able to deal with it. And, you know, I'm going to say this too. The sense that I'm getting from some players that I've talked to over the last couple of days is, you know, that we started the show off by saying there's kind of a different feel over at the Raiders facility in Henderson. It's a more confident feel. I think that, you know, when you're talking about some of these young players, a lot of them now are going into year three. You know, year four, obviously Derek Carr being the headmaster of that group. But there's guys that are moving into now the veteran phase of their career. They're not just the bright-eyed, you know, young players that, you know, are going into year two or that rookie year. That's kind of turning. And there's, I think, more of a ownership amongst that young group of what's going on. We talked about, you know, Clee Farrell talking about how sick of losing, felt like they were close last year. They want to get that turned around. Talking about it in those terms, not just, hey, I got to find my way. I got to, you know, individually, I'm still trying to get my footing. It was him talking, you know, from almost like as a team leader kind of a thing. And one of the interesting takeaways that I've been getting is the elevated expectations are coming with an elevated championship type approach to the work ethic, to the daily routine, to the attention to detail. And from what I've heard too, it's something that's carrying over to everyday life as well. You know, being a professional isn't just showing up and doing your job. Being a professional is a 24/7 job a lot of times. And, you know, last year for certain teams, the Raiders included, there were some letdowns with the COVID protocols that affected availability, that affected not just somebody's ability to go practice, your own, your teammates, whole position groups. You know, there were things that happened last year that kind of pointed to, you know, from the players on the players, maybe some breakdowns in responsibility. And I think they learned that lesson. And there's a new approach this year. And I said, it's more of a championship mandate and a championship approach to being in the building, when you're away from the building, being responsible, doing the right thing, eating right. Remember last year, Derek Carr at the end of the year talking about finishing and finishing practices, being able to do things, maybe being a little bit more mature, a little bit more dedicated, not searching for the right word, but away from the field in order to be able to be on the field more often and to be able to practice, to be able to play, you know, so be more disciplined and maybe sacrificing certain things along the way in the personal life. We all like to have fun, no question about it, but there's time for fun and there's time for a steely-eyed determination. And the great teams understand that balance. And the Raiders are a very young team, and they're getting older, though. And I can sense that maturity starting to kind of take root a little bit. And I think it's going to have a positive effect. It's already, you can tell, just in words and in actions, it's changing the way things are being looked at and maybe the way things unfold and how people go about their business at the building, away from the building, everything. And it's kind of a championship mentality. That's what it has to be. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Monsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. I want to say thanks to all of our callers this week, all of our guests this week. I want to say thank you to Devon Cotton, our producer, who's made us sound great, kept us on time all week. I want to thank Embajador Tequila for all the great things that you guys are doing, including tonight's benefit show over at Michael T's, the Aloha Night. At Michael T's from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. There's a great cause behind it, so if you guys show up over there, you'll know where the money is going. It's a great cause. Be able to listen to some great music, eat some great food, drink some great Embajador tequila. Then Casa Amigos on Sunday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. The Latin Nights for Father's Day. Go check it out. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Try to stay cool wherever you are because it's hot across the board. In the Huddle, Vinny Bunsenier, brought to you by Tequila Bahadur. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.